Today on Locked On A's, the trade deadline is less than a week away, so today we are looking at the A's three biggest trade pieces, some potential suitors, and which type of prospects that could be headed back to Oakland in these deals. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On A's, your daily Oakland A's podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On A's, stepping to the mic, it's your host, Jason Burke.
How's it going, A's fans, and welcome to episode 430 of the Locked On A's podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, noted baseball fan Jason Burke, and on today's episode, we are going over the A's three main trade assets. That is Frankie Montas, Ramon Laureano, and Sean Murphy. That's the ranking of who I think has the most potential to be dealt. Frankie Montas, number one. I feel like we just saw his last start. And then we got, Ramon Laureano and then Sean Murphy. That's how I think that the ranking is. So if you see Sean Murphy go first, they're trading all three. But I have a feeling we'll get into it later. But thank you guys so much for making Locked On A's your first listen of the day. We are free and available on all platforms. Also, make sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you like to hear podcasts. Follow us on social media at Locked On A's on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at ByJasonB on Twitter. If you guys have any questions for some trade proposals, perhaps, make sure to join our Twitter community. We got some big hitters in there. We got Hal the Hot Dog Guy. He is in that community. Also, the voice of the Lansing Lugnuts himself, Jesse Goldberg Strassler. He is in that group. Come join that group. Come join that group and be part of the action. That's what I was going for, but come be join the group. Why not? But let's get into the podcast, you guys. Let's start off with Frankie Montas because we probably saw his last start in green and gold, and that stinks because he has really developed into one heck of a starting pitcher, and teams are going to be lining up for Frankie Montas, assuming that there's no setbacks. You know, tomorrow after he threw his five innings against the Houston Astros, gave up two runs, seven hits, which wasn't great, but you know, whatever, it happens. It wasn't his most dominant performance, but he's also got some off-the-field stuff that he's dealing with, like, I don't know, being traded within the next week and uprooting his family. That keeps growing. He's got a couple of kids now, and they're young. They're young children that he gets to move in the middle of a season. And I was around back in 2014 when the A's traded for everybody, including Jason Hamill, who had not been doing well for the A's. And everybody was like, well, what's going on? And he told reporters after one of the games, he's like, I had to do a whole bunch of like life things. And so my mind hasn't been like on the game. And, you know, maybe that's what happened with Frankie. It wasn't a bad start. I'm just saying, when you get traded in the middle of a season, or you're about to be traded in the middle of a season, you got your mind on some other things, like, hey, where am I going to live? Frankie Montas has no idea about that. He has to find a place to live on, like, an off day randomly. Who knows when his next off day? I know when his next current off days are, but is he going to still get those? Who's to say? So let's talk about where Frankie Montas could end up. The Yankees' rotation has been struggling. I'm not trading him to New York, so that's not it. They're probably looking for depth. Hey, maybe they're going to trade us Jason Dominguez. I don't care. The Cardinals have also felt like a front runner for Frankie Montas like the entire season. You know, Steven Matz went down and then this guy went down. And they've had so many injuries. And I'm like, the Cardinals? No, that makes sense. Also, I don't want to say this because it sounds like blasphemy, but he would look good in Cardinal red. I got to say, he would look good in any uniform. He would look good in Cardinal red. So there's that. The Dodgers are always in the mix at the top of the market, especially, you know, pitchers or whatever they need, whatever they think they need. He'd be a nice piece for them. He's been with them before. Why not? And so it kind of all, I think that where Frankie Montas ends up kind of depends on the Juan Soto sweepstakes because, I'll get into it here in a second with the Cardinals' return, because I'm going to pick the Cardinals as to where he would go. But if they have to move the guy that I want from the Cardinals, then all of a sudden the Cardinals may be off the table if they're using all of their top, you know, their top prospects to go get Juan Soto, which is a great deal. Go get Juan Soto, obviously. But, you know, it would limit the return that the A's could get from that same team. So I think you got to kind of wait until the Juan Soto sweepstake is is over, and then you see where Frankie Montas is going to land. So it might be over the weekend Juan Soto gets traded potentially, or we get, you know, word that he's not going to be traded or something like that. So it might be like a Monday deal for Frankie Montas. Maybe Sunday, Monday is my read on it right now, unless the team feels like they're not in on the Juan Soto sweepstakes. And then all hands on deck to go get Frankie Montas. But going back to some other teams, the Mets have already, they got enough former A's. So why not one more for them? They've got a bunch of injuries in their rotation. Chris Bassett's been up and down a little bit. He's been really, really good. He's also struggled a little bit of late. I think he was on the COVID IL for a minute there. Jacob DeGrom, I don't believe, has pitched all season. Max Scherzer has missed time, so could they be looking for more depth? Probably. Would they like more A's? I assume so. The Twins, Padres, Blue Jays also make sense as landing spots, so there are plenty of teams in the mix to go get Frankie Montas. But I'm going to focus on the one team. I already spoiled it for you guys, and that is the Cardinals. I've had a feeling that it's going to be them all season, so let's focus on the Cardinals because I am utterly fascinated with one of their prospects, and I want that guy. And if it takes Frankie Montas to get him, I want him. So they got a bunch of intriguing prospects. And the A's and Cardinals have made deals in the past, so there's that history there. So it makes sense that the Cardinals could be this landing spot. I'm going to hone in on them. But the one guy that I am super intrigued by is Mason Wynn. Mason, M-A-S-Y-N, Wynn, W-I-N-N. So Mason Wynn. He seems pretty good. And according to the MLB trade simulator site, they have pretty similar trade values. So it could be roughly a one-for-one Frankie Montas for Mason Wynn deal, if that's the way they want to go. And, you know, I'll talk about this a little bit at the end, but I feel like the A's have always gone for depth. They get four, you know, three or four guys in these trades, and it hasn't worked out yet. So how about we try going for like one guy who could be a real difference maker and get a few of those guys? Hopefully, you know, if you get like four of them, two or three of them pan out, and then you have your own draft guys and your own trade guys, you know, from other trades and whatnot, and then you can build like a legitimate contender. That would be great, as opposed to, you know, the A's have been good, but have they been like the Astros yet? No. Maybe if you have a team with, you know, Mason Wynn and some other guys that I'm going to be targeting here later in the podcast, maybe they would be a legitimate contender and have a little bit longer window than the 1 or 2 years that they usually get. Just a thought. I don't know. But Mason Wynn, he is the number 4 ranked prospect in the Cardinal system, according to MLB Pipeline. He was a second rounder in 2020 and is still just 20 years old playing in Double A. That is another thing that I've been looking for. Young guys playing at high levels. I like it. His arm is electric at shortstop and would give the Pirates O'Neill Cruz a run for his money in hardest throws from the position. At Double A, Wynn is batting .262 with a .335 on base and a 94 WRC plus, so 6% below league average. But again, he's 20 in Double A. That's fine. You can work with that. He also has 6 homers and 11 steals in 45 games. He is not a finished product, but he has the tools to be a real difference maker for the A's, and if he came to Oakland, would likely be rated as their number 4 overall prospect as well, behind Zach Geloff. That's just according to, he wasn't a top 100 prospect, and Zach Geloff was, so there you go. If the A's were to squeeze another prospect out of St. Louis because of high demand for Montas, hard-throwing Edwin Nunez, there's no Enya, so I'm going to go with Nunez. Another 20-year-old would be an interesting add-in in this deal. You got his raw tools right there. He throws hard. He's not polished, but maybe you could learn, the A's could teach him how to pitch a little bit with that high heater, and he could be a real weapon down the road for the A's. That's what I'm saying. You get one guy that throws real hard, see what he can do in the bullpen. Then you got Mason Wynn, another shortstop. The A's draft shortstop all the time. They don't all play shortstop, though. You can move them wherever you want. And obviously, you want to get some guys with power, but you know, maybe Mason Wynn plays second. Maybe he plays third. You get enough guys, you're going to find the right guys. You create competition. Kevin Smith, still around. He's not doing terribly well in AAA, but hey, he's still there. He's got a great glove. Let's see what he can do. Film me on my team. Doing great. You know, create a little competition. See who rises to the top. Why not? You got the MLB talent to just go out and get whoever you want. So go do that. But the Cardinals and Mason Wynn and throw in Edwin Nunez are the two guys that I'm kind of targeting right now. And I talked to the Locked On Cardinals host, and he said, I think that I would do that trade. And I think the Cardinals will do, you know, Mason Wynn for Frankie Montas, you know, no big deal. And, you know, maybe a throw-in or two. So I'm on board. I like this deal. But coming up on the show, I'm going to be trading everybody's favorite, Ramon Laureano. I am sorry to, you know who you are. I am sorry to you, but I'm going to have to do it. But first, whether you're ready to pop the question or you're celebrating a milestone moment, find jewelry as unique as them with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. Blue Nile has simple online tools that let you choose the diamond shape, size, and clarity, as well as the setting style. Blue Nile's bench jewelers will then handcraft their perfect engagement ring. Each ring is one of a kind. Looking for fine jewelry but having trouble choosing? Blue Nile has jewelry experts on hand 24/7, available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And going on right now is the Blue Nile Anniversary Sale. Save up to 40% on classic fine jewelry pieces and 25% on engagement ring settings. Plus, every order is insured, it ships free, and it arrives in discreet packaging that will not give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever piece. Go to BlueNile.com today. Welcome back to the Locked On A's podcast. If you guys are enjoying the show, make sure to hit subscribe wherever you like to hear podcasts. Follow us on social media at Locked On A's on Twitter and Instagram. I am a by Jason B on Twitter. If you guys have any questions for us, or you have a trade proposal, or you just want to say hi and get my opinion on something, go join our Twitter community. There's some great people in there. We have a good time. We talk about some A's baseball, and we have some jokes. So there you go. What more could you ask for? I don't know. But let's go into trading Ramon Laureano and where he could end up. What a segue, Jason. I do want to start off this segment with saying that one of the national writers, it was Ken Rosenthal, suggested that the Giants could be in on Ramon Laureano, which does make sense. And while I don't doubt that the Giants are in on Ramon Laureano if he is available, which he probably is, the trade package that he laid out was pretty funny to me and most A's fans. Ken Rosenthal said that they would go with Tommy La Stella, you know, former A, Tommy La Stella, plus prospects in return for Ramon Laureano, who has three years left of control after this season. La Stella, who is due more money, like $11.5 million, and is aging, and he's dealing with injuries. He's like actual Chet Lauer right now, where he's making more money, and he's making way more money than Jed, but it just doesn't make sense. And he becomes a free agent after the 2023 season, so after next season, so you got to keep him on board for one more year. It's a salary dump is what it is. And it doesn't make sense that the A's would take Tommy La Stella on. They're not trying to win, one. Two, that's a lot of money for a guy that hasn't been playing much in two seasons. And three, why would they want him? He's like 37? He's an older guy. And if they're going to be trading Ramon Laureano, they don't want guys that are about to retire. That doesn't make sense unless the return package is very good. I mean, it would have to be really, really good because Tommy La Stella, in fact, has negative trade value according to the trade website, and that's hilarious. So basically you're looking at Marco Luciano, the Giants top prospect, who probably isn't getting moved in any deal because he's virtually untouchable to the Giants. I don't know that he's getting moved unless they're trading him for Juan Soto, which again, do it. He has the same trade value as Ramon Laureano, you know, straight up. So that could be a one-for-one deal. I don't think the A's do that, but and I don't think the Giants do it either. But that's kind of beside the point, because the larger point is if you add Tommy La Stella to that deal, all of a sudden you need to trade away the guy that you don't want to trade, Marco Luciano, if you're the Giants. And then more to make it worth it for the A's, because they're eating that money, and maybe the Giants could eat the money. And why? They're clearing a roster spot. The A's don't need that roster. It's dumb. It doesn't make any sense. I don't like this trade proposal. Why was it printed? But that's all. Let's move on to the team that I actually think he's going to go to. And there's some other teams. You could go with the Padres, reunite him with Bob Melvin, have him annoy Bob Melvin some more. Basically anywhere that needs a little bit of an upgrade. There you go. But the Phillies are the team that I've had my eyes on all season long because they don't have great defenders, a lot like the Giants. I don't know if they necessarily match up in a trade because the Phillies are in super win now mode and don't have a ton of great prospects, but they have enough, I think, to get a deal done. And their number one prospect is very intriguing to me. And their number one prospect is Andrew Painter, who was taken in the first round last year in 2021. He is 6'7", he's a righty, and he throws in the high 90s and has a chance to be one of the better pitching prospects in baseball as he develops. That was written by MLB Pipeline. That is a nice ceiling. I like that. Give me some Andrew Painter. And so here's his stat line, which, wow. In 55 and a third innings of A-ball, that's between low A and high A, Painter has racked up 93 strikeouts to go along with a 1.63 ERA at the age of 19. 55 innings and a third, 55 innings, 93 strikeouts, a 1.63 ERA. He's 19 years old. I'm intrigued by this guy. Give me whatever he's doing. He's throwing high heat. Give it. He's 6'7". I like this guy. Give me some Andrew Painter. And why would the Phillies trade him? Because they have a window for the next couple of seasons. I don't know that Andrew Painter is going to be ready. Maybe he's part of like the next group of guys, but are they going to be good in the next group? Like, Bryce Harper will be aging. He still needs Tommy John, you guys. And, you know, Kyle Schwarber will be gone. Nick Castellanos will be gone. They're going to have to fill these holes somehow, and I don't think that Andrew Painter is going to be filling all of those holes. So, you know, Ramon Laureano can be an upgrade now, give them a better chance now, but maybe they got to give up somebody like Andrew Painter to get a Ramon Laureano. That's kind of how trades work, you know? And I don't think that it's really outside of the realm of possibility because Dave Dombrowski is their GM, and he has been known to just trade all of the prospects in order to try and win championships. And he is not a prospect hugger. He will give you whatever you're asking for. In the Chris Sale deal, he traded like everybody that he had to go get Chris Sale. And, you know, hey, it worked, so good for them. But Painter likely will not be the only piece coming back either. He's very intriguing. He's 19 years old, has so many strikeouts, and he's 6'7". Remember, he's 6'7". You can't teach that. 6'7". But he wouldn't be the only guy coming back to the A's. The A's could mix and match any number of prospects. Maybe not the number two prospect, because he's also really good, Mick Abel. But, you know, they could go with basically whatever they were looking for. Do they want Alec Bohm? I don't know if the Phillies want to trade him necessarily, but they could go get him if they wanted to, too. One guy that would probably be available and not really hurt the trade value or, you know, the balance sheet, if you will, would be Mickey Moniak. He's the former first overall pick in 2016 that the Phillies took. He struggled a lot in the majors. He's striking out a whole bunch. But maybe getting him out of Philadelphia, where he has all of the pressure of being the number one overall pick for Philadelphia, bringing him to Oakland, where the A's have a history of taking some post-hype guys and, you know, turning them around, maybe he could have a decent career in the green and gold. Maybe he's a fit. He's still just turned 24, so he's still got plenty of time. He's got a couple of options as well, so that would that means he has 2 years in Oakland to figure it out, and he's not the centerpiece of a deal. Why not take a chance on Mickey Moniak? The A's could use some more, you know, decent outfielders, and he was taken, you know, first overall because he was going to be an underslot guy, so that he signed for $3 million less than what the slot value was. So was he like the best pick, you know, the best player in the draft? Not necessarily, but, you know, he was still good enough to be considered in, you know, the top 10 or so. That's a decent pick. He's got some talent. Let's see what he can do. I don't know, but I do think that the Phillies have enough talent to get it done. They might not, but I think that they have enough if they're willing to sacrifice, you know, trade away some of their bigger guys, some of their bigger name guys, and, you know, get a deal done. But, you know, maybe the Phillies aren't the right trade partner. And in that case, the A's could also go to some teams that aren't necessarily in the mix for the playoffs this season, but would love to have them for the next 3 years. And you got teams like the Marlins or the Orioles or, you know, other teams on the come up that could also fit that bill. So, you know, there's there's lots of suitors for Ramon Laureano, who's been hitting fairly well of late. I looked at his stats. He's not hitting fairly well of late. He's hitting like 150, but it feels like he's hitting fairly well of late. So that's all that really matters. But coming up on the show, we're talking about Sean Murphy, and I am very intrigued by the return package that I created from a team in the AL East. But first, BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all of your betting needs. Find all of your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, the NFL, the NHL, the NBA, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports wagering information, from live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts. They've got you covered. So head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the action happening today, because BetOnline is where the game starts. Welcome back to the Locked On A's podcast. If you guys are enjoying the podcast, and you must be if you've made it this far, leave us a five-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you guys like to listen to your podcast. If you want to write something nice, feel free, but you don't have to. The five stars is good enough for me. Also, make sure to follow us on social media at Locked On A's on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at ByJasonB on Twitter. Again, follow our Twitter community at Locked On A's and, you know, jump in on some of the fun. But let's move on. It's the least likely of the three to be traded, in my opinion, but I could definitely see Sean Murphy being moved, and then Shea Langeliers brought up to replace him. It's Sean Murphy. We're talking about Sean Murphy here. Possible suitors: you got the Mets, the Guardians, and the Rays, and those are teams that are currently in a playoff run that could be making a play at Sean Murphy. Then you got the Marlins and just about any other team that could use a catcher in the mix. So there's a wide array, because he has 3 years of control after this season. So the A's don't necessarily need to trade him, but they can, because he's hitting really well. And entering July, I would have said that the likelihood that Murphy gets dealt were about 50-50. I was like, I don't know. But he's been really hot in July. He's batting .333 with an on-base of .416. He's also striking out less and walking more this month, and he's just playing some of the best ball of his career. I'm sure that he could probably play slightly better over like the course of an entire season, but his value is really high right now. And I think that he's kind of upping his trade value, and it'd be kind of smart to trade him now while his value is roughly at the highest that it's ever been. So that's kind of where I'm at. And because, you know, I don't know necessarily all of the teams that are going to be involved, I'm going to go with one of the teams that I've seen mentioned, and that is the Tampa Bay Rays, because their farm system intrigues me the most. And so I'm going with them. Number one prospect, Taj Bradley, who's also the number three overall prospect in all of baseball at just 21 years old, feels like the centerpiece of this deal. Obviously, Sean Murphy has a lot of trade value. Taj Bradley also has a lot of trade value, but not as much as Sean Murphy, who's done it. Taj Bradley has been dominant in the minors this season, primarily at AA. He just got called up to AAA, so he's made one start there, but overall, he has a 170 ERA in 16 starts with a 0.91 whip and 88 strikeouts in 74 and a third innings pitched. He is currently in AAA, so in theory, he could be on the A's opening day roster next year. He could be in Oakland next year if he got traded. Another guy that was very intriguing is their number three prospect, Carson Williams. He's 19 years old. He's playing in A-ball. He's a shortstop. And he has 13 homers and 21 steals to go with a .263 batting average and an .859 OPS. It's an interesting mix of power and speed, and that's something that I really liked about Henry Bolte. I like power and speed guys right now. That's just my thing. So go get more of them. Carson Williams is a power speed potential guy. Get me more of these guys. He's also 19. He's going to hit more home runs. He might slow down on the base paths, but, you know, whatever. He's interesting. I want interesting guys in these trades. I don't necessarily need a bunch of guys. I just want some guys that have some real tools and that are, you know, top 100 prospects, because they have three of them right now, but give me more. If you're going to trade all of our favorite players, give me more top 100 prospects. That's all that I ask. And, you know, since the Tampa Bay Rays already have Wander Franco, they don't necessarily need a shortstop. So, Kirsten Williams, probably available. There you go. So why not just send him to Oakland? So those two prospects, Bradley and Williams, would eat up most of Murphy's trade value, if not all of it. But the A's could probably grab another lower-level prospect or two, is my guess. You know, guy like that, a 24-year-old righty reliever, which I say in jest, but he's also really, really good. Colby White. I don't know if the Rays would trade this guy. He is like their number 22-ranked prospect, but he has pitched at every level of the Rays system this season and holds a cumulative 1.44 ERA across 62 and a third innings with 104 strikeouts. This guy is a strikeout machine, and Pipeline said that he's probably going to be a closer or, you know, a high leverage reliever. And so, hey, I would also like him, please. I have to reach out to the guys at Locked On Rays. I wrote this very close to midnight on the West Coast, so they're not awake. So I didn't get to say, hey, you guys want Sean Murphy for this? But I assumed that they'd say yes, because it wasn't Wander Franco. And then they get Sean Murphy, so that's a plus. But I mean, if I'm being honest, it's probably a tall ask to get those three guys for Sean Murphy. Maybe they should have to throw in something else, maybe a prospect. Because, you know, hey, that's how they got Joey Wendell. He was not big-time Joey Wendell. When that happened. But hey, the Rays have also been dealing with a bunch of injuries. Maybe they're figuring this isn't their year, but also maybe they're like, hey, we can still do this. Let's go get some upgrades. This is, you know, it's not a low-cost acquisition, but, you know, hey, we have the tools to go get this guy, and we're going to have him for three more years after this. Cost control down. Let's go get Sean Murphy. Why not? So if all three guys get traded for the packages that I have laid out, the A's would have Mason Wynn, a very intriguing shortstop from the Cardinals, as well as Edwin Nunez and his blazing fastball and, you know, some decent upside, I would say. They also would have Andrew Painter, a potential one or two starter down the line, and maybe somebody like Mickey Moniak if the A's feel like they can turn him around. It'd be Andrew Painter or Meg Abel and a slew of other guys, I would assume, from the Phillies. Then they'd have another one or two starter in Taj Bradley and a power speed guy in Williams and a potential closer in White. I'd say that I made a really good trade package. Are they all realistic? The Cardinals one is. I know that for a fact. The Cardinals guy told me so. And I think that, you know, Andrew Painter and then whatever is also fairly realistic for Ramon Laureano. I may have... I don't want the Rays to beat us in a trade, so I may have gone a little bit over on theirs, but hey, you know what, whatever. Screw the Rays. Give us Taj Bradley, give us Williams, give us White. That's my trade package. Take it or leave it. Do you want to win the World Series this year or not? And the A's may go in another direction and chase depth in these deals, but for me, I want guys that are impacts. Give me three to ones. That's great. Give me one huge headliner guy and then a couple of guys, you know, that are also close to top 100s or that have immediate, you know, impact. Give me some guys that I can start dreaming about soon and not, you know, a bunch of 19-year-olds that are in rookie ball. Give me 19-year-olds in double-A. That's what I want. I want guys that have real potential like that, like Mason Wynn, who's 20 and in double-A. But the A's are going to make some trades. We know the A's are going to make some trades, and more of our favorite players will be on other teams. But with this slew of deals, we could really start to see the direction of the next contending team and what kind of a timetable we're going to be looking at for that return to contention. That's why this next week is important. So, you know, stay with us on Locked On A's, and we will tell you what that timeline is looking like roughly this time next week. So thank you guys so much for making the Locked On A's your first listen today. Now, make your second listen the Locked On MLB podcast, because MLB expert Paul Francis Sullivan brings humor, passion, and a unique perspective on every team and the biggest stories around the league. He's also writing a book about the A's, so he kind of likes the A's. So if you like this podcast, you might like his. Follow the number one daily league-wide podcast, Locked On MLB. It's on the Odyssey app. It's on YouTube. It's wherever you get podcasts. But that's all that I got for you guys today. So until next time, go out and celebrate good times, A's fans, and I will talk at you tomorrow.